has seen a record number of homicides this year, with more than 130 people killed since January. Experts say the pandemic and economic uncertainty are to blame. WFYI's Katrina Pross spoke with IUPUI criminal justice professor Thomas Stuckey to learn more about what urban areas have done to lower homicide rates.
Crime, especially gun violence, has been on the rise in Indianapolis and cities across the country. How does this year compare to previous years?
This year is not a good year, and last year was not a good year for gun violence in the city of Indianapolis. It seems trite to say it, but gun violence occurs when there is a gun in the situation. So if you have two individuals that get into a fight in a bar and neither one of them has a gun, then obviously gun violence is unlikely to occur in that situation. And 2019 and 2020 were, as far as I can tell, extremely high purchase years for firearms. And all else being equal, if you have more conflict and more trauma and more firearms, you're going to see more violence. That is something that we just need to confront.
How do the city's violence reduction efforts compare with similar efforts in other Midwest cities?
My sense is the city of Indianapolis generally has done some pretty innovative things over the years. And it's important to really sort of keep in mind what the sort of measuring stick that you would use would be as to whether it's successful or whether it's not. This is a really difficult problem to solve. One of the things people will often focus on is, what are the police doing? I'm a former police officer myself, and the police can play an important role, particularly in identifying illegal firearms and getting those out of the hands of people that should not be possessing them. But aside from the police, the bulk of the research tells us that most effective strategies for preventing gun violence are actually not police related. There are folks called violence interrupters who are not police typically. They are individuals who can talk directly to the folks that are involved in those disputes and find ways to resolve those that don't involve violence. Typically, those programs are small, and certainly increasing them would be very valuable. The other thing I think that we're seeing that is worth considering is the stress and conflict and trauma in general that people are experiencing is higher. In those circumstances, people's ability to resolve conflicts, to handle that stress, oftentimes is lower. They may be experiencing mental health issues, which can lead to substance abuse issues or both. Every one of those factors actually can create additional circumstances where gun violence can occur. As a consequence of that, one of the things that is really important is to understand the value of mental health treatment and preventative kinds of activities that are, again, not police activities at all. Social work, mental health treatment, substance use treatment, we could always use more of that.
What conversations are taking place now in the academic world among people such as yourself who study crime and policing?
The challenge with violent crime in particular, and gun violence in particular, is that the solutions are actually pretty well known. Getting them to be implemented effectively is the challenge. So we have communities where gun violence is very common, and the trauma that is associated with that gun violence, the general community doesn't understand the cumulative impact of what that does to a child living in that area, in that community. It's just, again, getting the policies in place and frankly, getting the resources. None of these solutions are free, unfortunately, but they are really important in the long run. And they do pay for themselves in terms of prevention.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely.